The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
The second hour is live. We've had a busy show. We'll go down to Gainesville a little bit later on, talk to one of the stars of the Gator defense. Right now, Kevin Clark rejoins us from the Ringer. We had a great conversation with him a couple of weeks ago before we got into the season, and it's always great to say hello to Kevin. Again, Kevin, I know you've you're back to college football a little bit. I know you've been delving into the NFL, which is hard to miss these days. And yesterday, in a span of a few minutes, we saw some of the most epic finishes ever. Yeah. How are you? And let's get back to the college game and some of the things that stood out to you over the weekend as you were watching it like all of us.
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be back doing college. I mean, I did 3 weeks on the road, and there was no Brian Harsin, so I had to come back to college. There's no Auburn crisis, so it's like I got to start doing college again, Paul.
Yeah, Kevin, some of us are too close to the sun. I was down there the other day, and when you're talking to the guy, he was on our show. He seems like a nice enough guy, but, man, once the game starts, he does seem – I mean, there's a lot of, you know, more intellectual cliches than fish out of water. But that's exactly what he looked like matched up against James Franklin the other day. What did it look like from a distance?
It looked like exactly that. I mean, there's probably, if you're an SEC fan base right now, there's probably 1.5 teams that you can get beat like that at home against from the Big Ten, and Penn State's not one of them. It's Ohio State, and it might be Michigan on a good year. But, you know, look, Nick Singleton looks like one of the best players in the country. I understand why Auburn played like that, but the only way for Brian Harsin to get out of the situation he was in is to win immediately, win big, and show. I mean, I was looking at their recruiting earlier. It's in the mid-50s right now. There's nothing right now. I mean, you said it earlier on this show, the season's over in Auburn, and it looks like the Brian Harsin era has to end because I just don't know what his argument would be at this point.
Yeah, and in the build-up to the season, we all did the schedule math, Kevin, and the one game he could not lose was the one he lost. And had he lost on a final play, maybe you win a couple of games and you get it back, but there's almost no getting it back, and in particular from a perception standpoint and a recruiting standpoint. Speaking of about to be out and counted down, Brian Kelly, he's now the toast of Louisiana after an utterly bizarre evening matched up against Mike Leach. How did you see that game?
He's another guy. I mean, listen, he was in nowhere near the hot water that some of the other guys were. It was his first year. You knew it was going to take time. And I do think I know the transfer portal has changed the way certain people view programs, but there's still a limit on what a team can do in the first year of a head coach. I think that Mel Tucker getting lucky with Kenneth Walker and then having that schedule last year changed the perception. I think what Lincoln Riley's doing at USC is going to change things a little bit with how we perceive it, because again, they've got a soft schedule. I don't know where the loss is on their schedule, but for a team like LSU, there was always going to be some growing pains. They had that Florida State loss, which was just, I think, inexcusable. I don't think Florida State's that good. I think they probably should be ranked as, you know, 22 or 23. I think they're okay. But a team like LSU has too much talent to lose a game like that. It's funny to me because Bill Parcells used to always say the number one way to improve a team is special teams. He was a turnaround artist. That's all he used to do. And so when I see a guy in his first game screw up special teams like that, I say it was the easiest thing to do. It was the easiest thing to do. And so I was disappointed in that. But I do believe he'll right the ship, and I think he's going to win. I mean, I think that something weird happened the last couple of months, Paul, where people in South Bend put Eugene in this. I think at Oklahoma, they thought that losing their head coach was like a good thing, or that they were going to be fine. And we're starting to see there's only a couple of guys at the highest level who can coach and win consistently. And Brian Kelly is one of them.
And I want to ask you about that because Marcus Freeman survived a bizarre ending to finally get a win. And Kevin, it doesn't matter what any of us thought previously. It doesn't matter whether we like this guy, and I think everybody does, but you know, is he cut out to be the head coach at Notre Dame?
Well, he's recruiting like it. I mean, they're in the top five, and that was the big thing. Brian Kelly's recruiting ceiling seemed low. That's why he went to LSU. That's why he said they wanted to go win a national championship, because it seemed like he couldn't recruit there. He sounded maybe less involved in the recruiting aspect than maybe some of these other top head coaches. But Marcus Freeman's showing he can get top talent, at least in the first couple of months there. But there's more to it than that. And so we're seeing that he's now 0-3. The quarterback situation is a bit of a mess because of injury. I do think they had the staff there. I just think that's a hard job. It's a hard job to win. And I had Mike Golic Jr. on my podcast on Friday, and we were just saying, I think we've all forgotten nationally what the conversation was like when Brian Kelly took that job at Notre Dame. And the fact that they were saying, I mean, some of the same conversations you're hearing about Nebraska now, where they don't have a recruiting base. They don't have a lot of the advantages they had 20 years ago. And Brian Kelly changed the program. So I'd say, in a weird way, Paul, it's a little bit of a harder job than we think, because Brian Kelly raised the ceiling so much. I think Marcus Freeman's going to be better than this, certainly. But I think it's really hard to just say, we're going to take a guy who's never done it before and have the same exact success. We've seen that Dan Lanning, Brent Venables, Marcus Freeman. Like, it takes a while for these guys, and there is a learning on the job element. Ryan Day is a unicorn.
You mentioned Nebraska, and yeah. Urban Meyer got a lot of run this weekend. And it's just bewildering to think that a yeah. fan base would actually be calling his name out. I'll save you the descriptions of what Urban Meyer is. I think anybody with a working knowledge of human yeah. dignity understands what a lowlife he is. But is he coming back, do you think, to any of these jobs that are starting to look like they may be opening?
I don't think he'd want to go to a job like Nebraska that's a grind. What I mean by that is, you can win at Nebraska. I mean, look at Iowa competes all the time in the Big Ten. You can play for a conference championship in the Big Ten at a place like Nebraska. But Urban Meyer doesn't want to do that. He wants to win national championships. He wants to go to places with great recruiting areas, lock them down, and go from there. Ohio State was that. Florida was that. You know, there's a reason he didn't go to Notre Dame, what was it, 18 years ago when he had the opportunity to, because he thought it was going to be a harder job than Florida. Obviously, he had a connection to the president, so that was a little different at Florida. But that was also the thought, is, hey, Florida could be the best job in the country. Nebraska's not that. In a sick way, I know neither of us want to hear this, Urban might eventually have better options than Nebraska. There are ADs who want to save their jobs and say, you know what, we'll hold our nose, we don't care, let's get Urban in here. They can chalk it up and say it was an NFL failure, you know, same as Nick Saban, same as Lou Holtz 30 years ago. Same as Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule, I assume, will be on the market this time in about 6 months, 7 months, maybe even shorter than that. So I think that there are ADs who can talk themselves into it. I don't think he's coming back next year. I think he needs another year of TV kind of rehabilitation of his image. But at some point, an AD is going to get desperate in a desperate situation, and we're going to see Urban back on the sidelines of a bigger program than we think, Paul.
Yeah, you mentioned Matt Rhule, and I was I was watching his game yesterday, and I think he'll be closer to available in probably about 6 or 8 weeks. but yeah, after what would have to be considered an abject disaster in the NFL, how attractive would Matt Rhule be to some of these jobs that we're talking about, and some of the ones like maybe even UCLA, could he be?
Extremely attractive, because I think, first of all, he built two programs up in a meaningful way. He raised their ceiling in Temple and in Baylor. And I think that you always need to understand why a coach failed. I mean, Nick Saban returned to college because once the Dante Culpepper thing happened with Drew Brees, he realized two things. Number one, you can't control your destiny. And he liked controlling his own destiny. He wanted these recruits. He wanted these guys in there, and he just didn't want a team doctor making a decision for him, or the draft, or free agency. He didn't like those sort of decision and inflection points. Why is Matt Rhule failing? I think it's a little bit different than that. I mean, there's a level of game planning at the NFL level that is higher. You can't just recruit. I think he did, if you talk to the recruiting guys, have a pretty good eye for talent, guys who would develop once they got on campus. That doesn't work at the NFL. Nobody cares, man. And there is I'm sure he's a nice guy. I've met him once or twice. He seems pleasant. But there's not a lot of positive things in the NFL community people are saying about the trajectory he's on. There are people who are incredibly unimpressed. David Tepper is the second richest owner in the NFL. At some point, he just says, what are we doing here? So, yeah, I think he's going to be on that, I mean, maybe Arizona State, kind of that level where he takes an intriguing job and gets a bunch of money and does well, Paul.
Yeah, you would think he would. Speaking of, I was referring to Chip Kelly a minute ago. I mean, that's your part of the world, at least in some respects. I mean, they didn't look like they had 100 people at that game against South Alabama. I still remember when Chip Kelly was the hottest coach in the country.
I do, too. I remember when he got a second NFL job off the Eagles job because he was so sought after. I remember after that when Florida wanted him. I mean, it's unbelievable the downturn. Troy Aikman now, I don't know if you saw this, is basically saying this is embarrassing. They need an on-campus stadium. I went to Miami. I'm well aware of the on-campus stadium debacle and the debate. And once that starts, it becomes a bit of a confusing process. But guys like Troy Aikman are over it. And I agree with you. I remember when Chip was a hot property, UCLA should not be this bad. When you just think about all the talent in L.A., Lincoln Riley's only been there 6 months. It's only going to get worse, Paul.
And they're going to the Big Ten, which I don't think you can take Chip Kelly with you right now as you make that move. But anyway, we could do a whole other segment on the Tom Hermans and the Chip Kellys, the Justin Fuentes, Scott Frost. I mean, all these guys were the darlings of the industry. Finally, let me ask you about the team in the SEC that everyone's talking about that is not named Alabama. And, you know, the comparisons of Georgia and the Alabama dynasty teams is starting to happen with regularity. Yeah. I realize it's a small sample. Well, maybe it's not that small with Oregon and South Carolina. But what do you make out of the dogs?
I think you're seeing what modern college football is, which is the two best teams in college football don't have rebuilding years anymore. And you look at it, I was looking at the 24/7 talent composite. Georgia went from 1 to 2, and they lost like 15 guys in the draft, okay? Like, this is unbelievable and almost unprecedented when you see what Alabama and Georgia are doing with their rosters. This is by stars the most talented roster in the history of Alabama. And you're seeing now they're running, Georgia's running end arounds with Brock Bowers. Stetson Bennett, you know, I think the Heisman candidacy, whatever it was a couple weeks ago, obscured how solid of a quarterback he was. It made the conversation ridiculous, but he's doing his job. This is an unbelievable amount of talent. And I don't know, Paul, how you beat it unless you have that kind of talent, which only one other team in the country does, and they'll play in Atlanta in a couple months. So I think you're seeing a concentration of talent at the top end. It is a high school all-star team recruited every year, every winter, and then Kirby coaches them up. I don't know if you're South Carolina, if you're Florida, if you're Tennessee. I don't know how you get within 3 touchdowns of that at this point. It is unbelievable, and I just think it's only going to get worse because, you know, you follow recruiting. Everyone said NIL was going to change stuff. It hasn't yet. It's still the top teams at the top. Georgia, I think, is probably going to be might be a rematch of last year's national championship for the next couple of years, Paul.
Amazing conversation. Kevin, many thanks. Just a real pleasure to have you on. Man, that was fun. It's hard to get much better conversation than we just had there about the national scene. As we head to the break, more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We're coming right back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Let's get to the calls. And Trey is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Trey.
Hey, Paul, did you have a good weekend?
Yes.
Paul, when was the last time Kentucky, Duke, Kansas, North Carolina were all 3-0 in football, not basketball?
Probably never.
I don't think it's ever happened either. It's kind of amazing. Are they now, have they turned into football schools, I guess? Hey, but Paul, what about J.K.? Is he going to call in this week?
Yeah, J.K. is one of those guys that loves to hit and run. But when his team gets embarrassed, he's nowhere to be found.
Well, that wasn't even a hurricane or category one. That wasn't even a tropical storm. That wasn't even a light sprinkle. That was an embarrassment to me. They lost to a team that lost App State. But Paul, has Vanderbilt passed up Auburn as far as their football program goes and the direction they're going?
Well, right now I would say yes.
But, well, and the other question is this. If Brian Harsin doesn't lose that Iron Bowl game last year, where is he at today? And thank you for taking my call.
Knowing the current state of ADs in America, he probably would have gotten a contract extension. Didn't Shane Beamer get one? Yeah, I mean, everybody gets one. Andre is up next. Andre, go right ahead.
Coach Paul Feinbaum. Coach, look, you don't necessarily have to be from the South to succeed, but you have to have recruiters who know the backyard of the South and know the landscape. If you don't have these recruiters that know the landscape and Auburn's in the 50th recruiting, you can forget it.
Yeah.
Hell, if you're in the top 10 in recruiting in the SEC, you're going to have a hard time.
Hey, Andre, if you are behind more than two SEC schools, which you are if you're seventh or eighth, you're in trouble. You're already behind.
I remember one year LSU was one, Alabama was two, and Texas A&M was three, and they asked someone about it.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, look, man, I still got two teams over me. And it's just the truth. Now, and then you had some guy that called in Thursday or Friday suggesting that Urban Meyer would go to Nebraska. Time to put that doobie down, Coach. He must have smoked a fat one. Come on, man. You know, come on, man. Listen. You got to go to where the talent is. This is not the 80s and the 70s where they were one of the only teams on TV every week with Notre Dame. Everybody's on television. So you got to go above and beyond. Who wants to live or play in Lincoln, Nebraska? Not against Nebraska. But, man, it gets cold
Andre,
up
you're
there.
Right. And that's a program now for 20 years has been kicking itself to asking the same question. You know, ultimately, you have to have a game-changer coach. If they weren't in the Big Ten, they might be in better shape. But they're in the Big Ten, and it's a weird fit.
But you know what, though, Coach? When they left out of, the Big 12, the Big 8?
Yeah, they were in the Big 12.
The Southwest Conference? Yeah, they could recruit the state of Texas.
Right.
But once they left the conference, now you can't recruit the fertile grounds of Texas anymore. But this guy was talking about Urban Meyer was coming to Nebraska. Man, come on, man. This dude ain't got good sense. And then
Urban Meyer, first of all, you don't know whether he would work or not. I know his resume. I also know the debacle that he created last year in Jacksonville. And, you know, he's got to have a ready-made job where he can get great players, and you can't do that at Nebraska.
That's Auburn. That is Auburn, Coach. He could do that at Auburn.
But Urban Meyer would never work at Auburn because, the fit does matter down there. You have to – it's a small place, and Urban Meyer would never get along with anyone.
What do you think about Brian Kelly and how he's doing so far down in Baton Rouge?
So far, I think he's doing really well. Even 2 weeks ago when all seemed lost, he got through that, and I think that's the most important thing. He didn't draw any swords, and he just took the loss and figured out. But I can't tell you how big that win was the other night, though. That kind of calmed everything down. Appreciate the call. Zach is up next. Good afternoon.
You say that?
Yeah, go right ahead, Zach.
Yes, sir. I was just calling to bring up, I called last year and told you Jimbo Fisher was not a good coach. And he won with Bobby Bowden's players and got pushed out because he knew that was his only chance of winning. I actually was fortunate enough to go to a charity event for Bobby Bowden where you pay to eat dinner, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And got to meet my idol. And I got to sit with his college roommate and he told me the truth that Jimbo Fisher did just push him out.
That's true.
And
by the way.
And gave them the ultimatum: either I leave or he's out.
No, 100%.
Bobby Bowden would have won that national championship himself and went out in a blaze of glory. And I see it now that I think it's proven now. I think it's all Jimbo Fisher does, he doesn't do his research. He looks at who's five-star and who's four-star. He doesn't look at who works for his what he's trying to do. And he tries to make his playbooks too complex. And it's easy to do when you have Jameis Winston running over everybody, so you can always just play quarterback draw. They almost lost that game to Auburn because he wasn't a good coach. But anyway, that's only my opinion. And then I also have one more thing to say, if I could have 2 more seconds.
Sure.
I was trying to start a tradition with my dad and brother that we go to a new SEC game every year at a different stadium. And so I bought really nice tickets to the Texas A&M Auburn game at Auburn. Lower level, I think about 40-yard line. I mean, they're about $800 tickets. Dad backed out on me. Brother backed out on me. If I-Man would want a free ticket, you could get my number. I'd love to hang out. And if I know Legend wouldn't go because he's an Alabama fan, but if he wanted to go see Auburn beat up on Texas A&M, they can have the tickets for free.
Okay, Zach, we'll see if we can hook you up with those guys. I know I-Man would be a lot of fun to go to an Auburn game with. I'm not sure about Legend. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back to our show. It's great to have you with us. And let's get T up next in Alabama. Hello, T.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Well, I called to ask for two reasons. The first reason is I just want to respond to your last call, Zach from Hoover, Alabama, when he said that Jimbo Fisher won with Bobby Bowden recruits. I just wanted to say that is not true.
Yeah, by the way, I'm glad you said that because I was listening and my mind wandered. I mean, by the time Jimbo won the national championship in 2013, I think Bobby had been gone 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I think it was 5, to be honest, but I could be wrong.
You may be right, but
5.
Certainly Jimbo got Jameis Winston there, which is the key to that operation. And he beat Nick Saban for Jameis Winston.
Right, and he also recruited the receiver, Kelvin Benjamin, that caught the game-winning touchdown.
He sure did.
But my second thing to you, Paul, you know, I'm an Auburn fan, and I just got to ask you, and I'm going to hang up while you speak on it, I guess.
Okay.
Where do my Auburn Tigers go from here?
Well, T, I think you're in for a difficult period, but I think this will be a really tough season. But my guess is that unless something dramatic happens, and I'm not really sure how that could, then Auburn will be looking for a new coach. And I think it then comes down to who that new coach is and how quickly he can recruit at a level that Auburn is used to.
Yeah, when that game clock hit zero Saturday, I said right then it's no longer a matter of if but when for Brian Harsin.
Yeah, and by the way, I think Harsin is a good coach, but you know he's recruited terribly, and there's no reason to believe he's going to recruit any better. So if you can't recruit any better, then you're going to be stuck in the mud.
Right. Let me ask you this, Paul. Do you because as you, I think you said this a week ago, or might have been a couple weeks ago. You said that Auburn's first mistake, in which I kind of agree with, was firing Gus Malzahn during the pandemic year.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately that may be true. I mean, Malzahn needed to go. Frankly, I might have gotten rid of him a year earlier.
I just think the timing of that firing was at the wrong time. Because there was so much restriction at the time on recruiting.
True, absolutely true.
And then you bring in a guy with no SEC ties to recruit during that time. Like,
if you remember, though, T, what he did was, you know, he got a couple of guys in there like Derek Mason and Mike Bobo, who he thought would help him. They didn't.
Right,
and
exactly.
Then he got rid of them, and he thought that would help, and it didn't. So, I mean, quite frankly, nothing he's done has worked.
Right. Well, thank you, Paul, for taking my call.
Yeah, it's too bad. It was a, you know, you ever had the one of those, you know, you make a decision, you go, this is not fundamentally sound, but I'm going to be right. And then you go, what a stupid decision that was. Why did I do that? There was no justification for it. And that's really the hiring of Brian Harsin. What Alan Green did is he looked at, you know, who were really good coaches around the entire country. And Harsin came up. And by the way, there was no surprise he came up. But the problem really wasn't Harsin. It was Alan Green. He thought he was going to outsmart everybody. And he's now unemployed. And Harsin won't be far behind. Let's check out Tom in Nashville. Hey, Tom.
Good afternoon, Paul. Happy Monday.
Thank you very much.
So I have a question for you that I hope will kind of launch a short discussion, but I guess my statement is, and I'm curious as to your feedback, the polling system, the rankings at this point in the season are absolutely meaningless.
True.
Oh, well, you made that pretty easy.
I'm an easy guy to talk to.
Well, and, you know, I'm a Georgia fan, so of course, you know, with my red and black colored glasses, we're number one. I think, I mean, have we played
Tom,
anyone?
Let me help you. I'm not a Georgia fan. I'm a commentator, and there really isn't any doubt about Georgia right now based on the short sample or small sample that we have. They're dominant.
Exactly.
Alabama has not been. Alabama's lucky to be undefeated. So that's all you can do. And the reason why the rankings don't matter and fans get all upset about it, and I think Sam Pittman had the best line I've heard, it's all about recruiting. You're just trying to promote, hey, look at our team. But in terms of the playoffs, we're 3 weeks in. I mean, we're barely 20% into the season. And these things start happening. Everybody in the SEC, you, no matter who you are, you're going to play a tough schedule. So
that's what's great about the SEC is we play each other, and it's a high level of competition, and it's not a sprint but a marathon.
But and by the way, some schedules are worse than each other. Kentucky's got a pretty good schedule this year because they have the. Mississippi State is one of their that's their normal game from the West, and they have, I'm trying to remember who the other state. So they have, I mean, their toughest game is Georgia. Auburn, for example, they've got Georgia and Alabama. I mean, nobody wants that. So Jim is up next.
Yeah, I think you went to me, didn't you?
I sure did. Good afternoon.
Well, you know, you said good afternoon, so I'll say good afternoon. But after you abuse people like you abused me last week, calling me, ridiculing me for not going to Shane's funeral, which is outstandingly asinine and judgmental, and then and you abuse your one of your best calls and a decorated Marine, Daryl, today, and start laying down rules, you sound like Joe Biden every day, man. I'm telling you, you're not going to be here on that show much longer.
Now, Jim, I have to say something to you. Of all the insults that you've laid on me, I think that's the worst.
Well, I hope it is, because it was meant to be.
I don't think I can recover from that. I'll give it to you, Jim.
You're not going to be on the show much longer, because they're going to kick you off. As sorry as ESPN is, they're going to kick you off.
They are?
That's my prediction.
Okay.
You're an abusive old man. You really are. You call me old. I'm not old as you are. You're just an old, indecent, ugly man. Cruel, sadistic, and rotten. You're really rotten. I'm serious as I can be.
I'm glad you're not being judgmental.
People, this guy is rotten. You'll wake up one day if you've got a rational brain. I'm talking about the people will. There's sycophants everywhere sucking up to you because they suck up to so-called famous people. You're not famous. You're notorious. That's what you are.
Notorious?
Notorious, you know, in other words, well-known is all you are.
Jim, don't be surprised if you hear from my attorneys.
Attorneys for what?
I am going to demand you take back that Biden line.
Oh, okay. I tell you what, Paul, I wish you would take me to court. That would be a day you'd regret the rest of your damn life.
Jim,
because you would definitely be exposed on that one.
Have you ever been to court?
Even with the crooked judges in the country, you'd be exposed.
I agree with you on that.
Oh, do that. Man, that way I might really recoup some of money you owe me.
Jim, have you ever been to court? Have you ever been on trial?
Yeah, I've been to court.
So you've been on trial?
And I've been to kangaroo court on this stupid show you got.
No, I'm talking about real court where you have to tell your
name. I've been to court. But the way you abused Darryl Wall, a decorated Marine, you talking about apology needed. You need to apologize to that man.
I am sorry if I offended the decorated Marine. All I asked him is, could you let me speak?
You lay down warnings like, who do you think you are laying down warnings on an opinion show? Who do you think you are, punk? You little punk? You're not a little weasel. A little weasel.
I don't think I'm anybody.
You are not anybody.
I'm just a simple man.
And only ignorant morons give you any credit for being somebody. Only ignorant morons give you any credit. I'm telling you, no rational, decent person has anything that regard for you. No respect, because you give no respect for your callers. None.
Jim, could I ask you one more question?
Hey, no, I've got to go, but I just had to say that.
I don't think I can sleep tonight if you don't take that back. Okay, he didn't. I'm stuck.
There you go.
Paul Biden right here. Is he the 46th president?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll call you 46.
Yeah, just call me 46 from now on. I'm just an old weasel. We'll take a short break, and hopefully I'll still be here when we come back.
You're punk.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back. I'm still trying to recover from the previous call. I-Man is up next.
Well, good afternoon there, Paul Feinbaum.
Good afternoon.
You know, I knew my Auburn Tigers were in trouble, but I didn't know we was going to take the ass whooping that we all saw live on TV. But it's nothing near the ass whooping that you gave Jim last week. But I've recovered. I've recovered from Saturday. I watched the game to the zeros, and you know what? It was the same game I saw from beginning to end, and it was dominating. But I recovered. And Jim has been stewing all weekend because of what you did to him, and he finally said post 34, but that wasn't mentioned on page 54. And you know, I don't understand why he calls in and has to grandstand with you and try to knock you down and all that kind of stuff. When he said the other day, is there anybody more famous on this show than him? Absolutely. Tammy, Phyllis, there's a handful of people. Jim is just that constant whining, complaining old fella. And if he told you that he put his hand through the window after some kind of a pool game, then that's what he told you because you didn't make it up.
But well, hey, I mean, don't you? I remember him saying that on the air. Maybe I missed it, but it seems like
I missed it. But, okay. but he told me it was. He told me that he was in the locker room and several black football players jumped him. But in 1960 in Tuscaloosa, how many black football players was on a white football team?
None.
That's what I kind of figured. Paul, Bordam Eagle, we're going to figure out a way. And on those Texas A&M tickets, if Zach wants to scoot them down towards the capital city, I'll be glad to take those tickets and go to Auburn.
That will be great. Thank you, I'm in. Bob is up next. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
Very well.
Well, according to Jim, I'm hoping it never happens, and most of us are hoping it never happens that you get fired.
Well, but, by the way, it sounds like it is imminent.
Yeah, like he's got something to do with it.
By the way, Bob, if that happens, I hope it happens soon while the weather is still nice.
And that's part of my call. You know my background in law enforcement when I called to talk about trying to get a hold of Larry and stuff like that.
Right.
But if I showed up on a scene and this guy was there spouting off on that, you know, I'd have to look into Baker acting the guy. I really seriously would. This guy's got serious problems.
Yeah, I would be curious you understand. I mean, you have to make a decision pronto. When you see somebody like that, what does your training tell you?
That he's off his meds, he's crazy, you know, whatever. And that's why, you know, you'd have to do something because, that kind of guy is a danger to himself and others.
Yeah, no, well, I think the others is that really, you do want to help him, but your concern in law enforcement is society.
The main thing is just to get him some help because he definitely needs it.
And I will say to him, I have tried, and I from now on, I think I will stand down. I don't need to incite him any more than we have previously, and that's why in that call I was calmer and more accommodating because he was so far off the rails that I didn't want to do anything else.
Yeah, and when he always threatens to never call again, you know, that could be the best thing that ever happened to the show, really, because he's just, I don't know, he's off the wall. He's sitting home stewing about you, and there's something wrong there.
But, Bob,
really
on one
is.
Level, I think, and you may strongly disagree, sometimes you do have to have an outlet. Usually it's with trained help, with somebody who is a professional. But I think in some ways, though, to get that out may save the next person that he runs into today.
It's possible, but, you know, I think
like
the best
person
bet would be
the
to
Burger King drive-thru that he goes through for dinner in a couple of minutes.
I think the best bet would be to put him in and get him evaluated, you know.
He's not old enough for senior coffee, please. I am.
All right, we love you, Paul.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Pat is up next. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Paul. Thank you very much. I do believe that, like the Philistines and Judges, you've been slain by the jawbone of an ass.
Yeah, no, I'm done. I'm out.
Listen, I want to talk about Kent State game this week. It's a noon game, and I believe it's on SEC Plus, and that's fine. We've got SEC Plus, and I think Stitch is going to do the game. So,
okay.
So that'll be a pretty good one. Kirby is acting more and more and more like Nick Saban, and that's a good thing. And a wise man once told me that when you lose, say very little. When you win, say even less.
That is such a good advice.
That doesn't work on your show, though.
No, we would not have a show if we applied that. But I've often subscribed to that theory. I tried to share it with my good friend Jim. I failed. We're up against the break.